And so after him was Jehoiachin, and then after Jehoiachin was 11 was Zedekiah, and finally after Zedekiah in verse 19 and verse 20, there was complete destruction of the whole place. Now, what happened was this. Some of the scholars in the time of Zechariah, in the time of Zechariah, Haggai, in the time of Zerubbabel, interpret the 70 years as beginning from 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verse 19 onwards, verse 17 to 20. So they time the 70 years from there. If they time the 70 years from there, it's going to take place much, much later. Much, much later. Why? Because that was 606, and so much, much later would be about, possibly about 587 or so BC. And so when Zerubbabel and Joshua were trying to build a temple, they started, but after some time, some of them thought that maybe it's not the time yet. 70 years are not up yet. They literally were in Babylon without any country when their whole country is destroyed after Zedekiah died, after Zedekiah was removed. They were literally in Babylon for a period of possibly about 51 years. That's all. So some of them, if they were counting from Zedekiah's time, they'll be thinking, well, 70 minus 51. So you still got some time left. Still got some time left before we start building. Maybe that's the reason why we're not so successful. But the precise timing was actually from Jehoiakim's time. You see, the prophecy of Jeremiah was from the time that Babylon conquered and take over. The moment Nebuchadnezzar sent his general and they took over the land of Israel and control it. That was the timing. The precise timing of the beginning of the 70 years. And so, with that historical background, just remember the date, 606 to 536, 70 years. 606 was in the time of King Jehoiakim, and 536 was in the first year of Cyrus, he sent a decree to let the people go. That's 536 BC. So here we are in the book of Ezra, chapter 1. Now you know why. There are a lot of letters in this book. And a lot of correspondence going on in this book. But the historical things are the most important as we link it all together. We'll approach and follow the historical view first and give you all the background necessary. Then we'll give some spiritual interpretations for you to go further. Why? Because if you have to study this book by yourself and research into the historical background, it's going to be quite confusing because in this book, there's one of the most differing among the scholars. So I try to get a summary for each one of you. So in the book of Ezra, chapter 1, we have the king giving the decree to go forth. And basically when the people went forth in Ezra, chapter 2, there's a long list of names, and they named and traced all the people, and they started coming back. All together, plus men and women and servants, all together numbering nearly 50,000. Nearly 50,000 people came back to Jerusalem to try to Israel to rebuild that land all over again. That's in chapter 2. And chapter 3 we'll consider in detail afterwards. That's when they set the temple and they rebuild the temple. But chapter 4 they began to have opposition. So in chapter 4 they began to have all kinds of opposition. And look at chapter 4 verse 24. Thus the work of the house of God which is at Jerusalem ceased, and it was discontinued until the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. Darius, king of Persia. And then in chapter 5, verse 1. Then the prophet Haggai and Zechariah the son of Iddo, prophets prophesied to the Jews who were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel who was over them, and they told them to start building the temple again. See, the work ceased for some time. When they had opposition, they stopped. They could not continue anymore. What were some of the reasons? Fear, lack. But one of the subtle reasons was a reinterpretation of the timing. That God has to send a prophet all the way to them. In the book of Haggai, let's turn to the book of Haggai. Remembering that Haggai and Zechariah function in the same time. So to really get into this book, if you are a real devout student of the word, you will have to study Ezra together with Nehemiah, together with Haggai, and together with Zechariah and also Malachi. But we are not doing all the books, of course. We just choose a few verses here and there that are relevant. In Haggai, chapter 1, verse 4. Now look at what Haggai said. This was how they stir the people up. They said, let's look here in verse 2 and verse 2 to 4. Thus says the Lord of hosts. When the work of the house ceased, in chapter 4, verse 24, it took two prophets, Haggai and Zechariah, to come and tell them these words. It says here, thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, the people say, these people says, the time has not come. Why do they say the time has not come? Because they are timing Jeremiah 70 years from Zedekiah, which is possibly about 587 BC, instead of timing it from 606 BC. And so, a lot of the people are saying, well, the reason why we are not able to finish, we started halfway but we couldn't finish, is because it's not really time yet. The 70 years are not up. So, it depends on their point of reference. If you get a point of reference wrong, the rest of your calculations go wrong. And it took a prophet, Haggai, to come and say, the people said it is not the time, but the Lord said, That the time that the Lord's house should be built is now. That's what he's saying. And Haggai is saying in verse 4 and 5, he says, look, you say that it's not time, but you're taking this time to build your own houses, build your own things, and you're not building the temple first before you seek your own ways. In other words, Haggai was saying to them, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. And then Haggai turned around in the next few verses in chapter 1 and said to them, seek ye first your own kingdom, and all these things are taken away from you. That was literally what he was saying. If you read on, he says, you plant and you sow and you never get anything. You earn your money and you place it in a bag, but the bag is full of holes. You don't see the results for all your work because you seek first thy own kingdom, which is disastrous. So within understanding, the people quickly were inspired again. Afresh they started the work of God. And this time with the help of the two prophets, the ministry of the prophets, with those two prophets, Haggai and Zechariah, they completed the work. Let's look over the book of Ezra. In Ezra chapter 6, Ezra chapter 6, verse 15. Now the temple was finished on the third day of the month of Adar, which was in the sixth year of the reign of King Darius. King Darius. Right? So finally it was finished in chapter 6. And that ends the first section of the book of Ezra. Now here's the important historical background that you need to take down, perhaps in your Bible or somewhere or in your notes whenever you read the book of Ezra. Because the Darius here in chapter 6 is not the same as the Dairis in the book of Daniel. They are in fact three Dairis, two Zexes, three Artaxerxes, and if we include the second and third king, you would have four Artaxerxes and two Ahasuerus and one Cyrus. So we need to understand the order of the king. Based on the historical records, harmonizing it with the Bible records, the first king of the Medo-Persian Empire who took over the entire Babylonian kingdom, if you remember how they came in and conquered the Babylonian kingdom, was Cyrus, known as Cyrus the Great in history. In all archaeological cuneiform writings, they found that he was referred to as Cyrus the Great. Now, he was the first of the Medo-Persian kings. And Cyrus the Great, when he conquered the whole place, including the city of Babylon, he appointed a person that you could refer to as a sort of governor or viceroy, and to be in charge over the new Babylonian region. In other words, they preserved Babylon or Shushan, which was the old capital of Babylon. And so Cyrus appointed a person called Darius the Mede, who is different from Darius the Persian. So Darius the Mede. Now, if I'm going too fast, just raise your hand. We'll repeat again this historical background. Darius the Mede and Cyrus the Persian are one and the same time. They are the same time. In a sense, he would also be known as a king. You say, how can it be? Well, Herod was known as a king, although he was part of the Roman Caesar and Roman Empire. King Herod, with some authority in Jesus' time. So, Darius the Mede also had some kingly authority over the new Babylonian area. He reigned together with Cyrus, but he was under Cyrus the Persian. Right? Understand that. So, more Bible scriptures to back all these things up, and that will give us more understanding. In the book of Daniel, we are talking about the first king. We are only at the first king, right? In the book of Daniel, note that Daniel himself records in chapter 6, verse 28. Daniel chapter 6, verse 28. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Notice that Darius the Mede and Cyrus the Persian are one and the same time. Right? They're one and the same time. And they reign together. Don't confuse Darius the Persian with Darius the Mede. They are different persons altogether. You say, how can it be? Well, there are a lot of people called Tans. Not all Tans are the same. Right? And so, people have some similarity of names. And if your church is big enough, there would be a lot of people with the same name. And so, in those days, they had a certain favorite name for the rulers. Darius, Xerxes, and Artaxerxes are favorite titles that they took on. And so, we have what we call, even in the Roman Catholic Church, well, whoever becomes Pope usually change their name to. They take on a special name. Usually it's linked to one of the apostles. And so they had that tradition. And kings also tend to do that. They take on a new name and an official title. So the first king was Cyrus, who reigned together with Darius. Right? That's king number one. Say number one. Darius. Now, after Darius, there were two other kings. And history, if you're a researcher in history, history records the next two kings after Cyrus as Cambyses and then Gautama. Right? So king number two is Cambyses and king number three is Gautama.
Now, the Bible doesn't refer to them as Cambyses or Gautama. If you ever research the Bible and compare kings' names, you'll find even the priest's name sometimes are recorded slightly differently, and the names of the people. One more, secular kings. So the second king that it came after Cyrus is known as Ahasuerus. That's the king that's referred to in Ezra chapter 6. See, why are we giving all these verses? This is important to understand the book of Ezra, the book of Nehemiah, the book of Esther. Three books.